Good morning. We'll get there in a minute. Thank you for all those songs that I been really talking about what I've been talking about this week, that is the grace of God. The grace of God. And I want to say that this is got a ways to go, but I want you guys to pray for me because I have a goal that I have set, and I need to reach this goal, and by God's grace, I will. Me and Lisa are renewing our vows in March. 25 years we've been married. We will be, Lord, let us see it. We will be married. And I have a goal. My goal is that I want to stand before my bride again at the same weight that I was 25 years ago. So I'm trying to do that, and so far I've lost 5 pounds. 5 pounds. So that's a praise God for that. It has nothing to do with the message. I just want y'all to pray for me because it's hard. Okay, but today we're going to be talking about fulfilling the law, and we're going to go a little this way and that way because I was taken that way for one, and God has a word to say today, so pray for me. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we do come this morning to say thank you for another opportunity to speak what I believe, and I pray that you would guide the people to understand what comes from my mouth, that it comes from you. I pray for a power on high. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit resting and ruling and abiding in this place right now. We ask, God, that when we leave here, all of us, God, we'll be better off than when we came. Thank you, Father, once again. Lead and guide, and I'll follow. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. If you open your Bibles to Matthew 5, 17 through 20, I'm reading here from the New King James, okay? And it reads, do not think, verse 17 through 20, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Verse 18 says, for surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Verse 19, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. As I studied this, I've preached this before, but I studied it in a different manner, in a different way. Studied more in depth, and I believe more in seeking God in for the understanding this time, I can say, more than last time. And what I get out of these passages is, why did God give the law? That's the question that came to mind when I was reading these. If we're talking about, you know, the law and the prophets, then why did God give the law? Number two, when we look at these, I pray that you write them down. If you have little cards in the back of the seats, if you want to take notes, then you can do that. What the number two is, why did Jesus say he did not come to destroy the law? See, I just think like that sometimes. When I'm reading scripture, I begin to, as I'm growing in scripture, I begin to ask myself questions as I'm reading the scripture. Okay? And number three, how did Jesus fulfill the law? But the first thing we need to do is we need to look at verse 17. And we're going to only take, because y'all told me I could take my time, right? Remember when you told me that? Said we got a lot of time. We can just, ain't no rush, right? You told me that, right? Okay, so we're not going to rush. We're going to take our time. So when this is over, I don't know when it will be over, because we're going through Matthew, what? Since I've been preaching in Matthew 5. Matthew 5 through what?
6? 7.
So we go to the next two chapters. Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7. Okay? And we're going to take our time because what I've said before is that the Sermon on the Mount is for believers to know how to conduct themselves as Christians, as believers. Okay? It is not just a Sermon on the Mount. Oh, that was a good message. Yep, it was. But Jesus meant for his disciples to apply this to their life, not so that they'll be right with God, but that they'll know how to conduct themselves as believers, as Christians. So these things through the Sermon on the Mount is something that we can use in our daily lives. And hopefully people might see Jesus in us. First of all, we need to look at verse 17. Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The first question is, why did God give the law? Why did God give the law? If Jesus didn't come to destroy, that means the law is valid even today. It's valid even today. Let's look at what God has given me here. The Mosaic Law was given specifically to the nation of Israel. In Leviticus 26 and 46, it says, these are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between himself and the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. How? By the hand of Moses. So the law was given specifically to the children of Israel. Okay? In Romans 9 and 4, it says, who are Israelites to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. Okay? The law was given to them through Moses so that, why? Why was the law given? The law was made up of three different parts, okay? Just keep in our minds, why was the law given? What's the purpose of the law? The Ten Commandments is number one. Three separate parts. The Ten Commandments, the ordinances, and the worship system. The law is made up of three separate parts. The Ten Commandments, the ordinances, and the worship system, which includes the priesthood, the tabernacle, the offerings, and the festivals, okay? Now, I still get puzzled sometimes when I think about that God, he wrote out 10 commandments. Now, how in the world did the scribes and the religious leaders come up with another 600 plus ordinances to go with 10 commandments? Something to think about, right? But I say, and as I looked at it this morning before I left, if we can follow just those 10, that'd be good. But there's two laws that's greater than those. What is it? The first is what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy our strength, and then the second is like the first, right? And what is that? Love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you do that, what will you be doing? You will be fulfilling the whole law. See, so he made it easy for us, did he not? You know, we could go through all the 613 laws that are out there, and ordinances and the statutes and precepts and all of those things. But how many of you guys remember every last one of them? I don't. And you don't either. So that's why he said, I'm going to break this thing way down for you so that you don't have to stress about what I mean about keeping the law. Okay? You can keep the law when you love me with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and your strength. And as you love your neighbor as yourself. But the law was given to Israel. And why was the law given? I asked a few people at work, you know, as I was studying this throughout the week. I asked a few people at work, you know, why did God give the law? And you'd be surprised what people would say. So that you'd be right with God. That's true. But there's no salvation in the law. That's true. Okay? The law was a shadow of things to come. The law was put in place because here was 2 million people in bondage for 430 years. They come out of Egypt, and guess what? They have nothing to govern themselves by. They were wandering in the wilderness, and there was just a beat down crew that had nothing to live by. And the Holy Spirit said to me, or that's just my thinking, but I believe the Holy Spirit. He said, that's why they were always in their minds turning back to Egypt. They were always in their minds turning back to Egypt because they believed that even though they were in bondage, help me, Holy Spirit. Even though they were in bondage, they were better in Egypt because they had direction in Egypt to a certain point. They knew what they were going to do. But here is this 2 million plus people roaming around in the wilderness, not knowing where they're going. And this man called Moses think he knows where he's taking us. God said, come on up, Moses. I got to give these people something. That's Stephen's view, okay? God, you can't read that in the Bible. That's what, okay? And so God gave them a law in order that they might have something to govern themselves by, okay? So the purpose of the law is, number one, to reveal the holy character of God to the nation of Israel. Number one, to reveal the holy character of God. And number two, the purpose of the law is to set apart, hear this, a nation of Israel, the nation of Israel, as distinct from all other nations. The purpose of the law was to set them apart. Why? The other nations had a secular law. They had their own law, yeah, but they didn't have the law of God. The true and living God. The I am God. To govern them, okay? In Exodus 19 and 5, it says, now therefore, you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a what? A special treasure to me above all people, okay? A special treasure, for all the earth is mine. Number three, the purpose of the law is it reveals the sinfulness of man. Okay? That's the law is relevant today because just back then, it kept them in a right standing with God if they could call themselves, if they could call themselves keeping the law, which they never could, they couldn't, and guess we can't either. But it reveals to them when they had committed sin. Before that, what was the law? What was the law? It's just like I was driving down to Mississippi many years ago, so don't get excited right now. But many years ago, driving down to Mississippi, and I never had went there before, you know, about 21 years ago. Never had went there before, and I was driving down, and I was following somebody. So me and my wife and her sisters was in the back seat of the car, and we got to talking. You know how you get to talking on the road and everything, just, and all of a sudden, I'd never been there, didn't know where I was going. The one that I was supposed to have been following took off and left me. I was lost. I didn't know what to do, right? So guess what I did? I sped up. I was trying to catch him because I didn't have a GPS or none of that stuff. I didn't know where I was going. Okay? So all of a sudden, I saw these lights flashing in my rearview mirror. Why? Because I had broken the law. Why? Because I didn't look and I didn't see. I wasn't looking at the indicator of what set the speed limit. I'll get it out in a minute. Bear with me. The speed limit was there, but I didn't look at it. And whoa, boy, it took me a while to pay for that ticket. It took me a while. So nowadays, I watch the speed limit. I watch the law. Okay? It reveals sin in us if we watch it. Okay? Romans 3 and 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Now, this is what I want you guys to look at in that verse, if you wrote that down. Sorry for not putting it up there. It'll be up there next week. Some more stuff. By the law is the knowledge of sin. That's the B part of Romans 3 and 20. By the law is the knowledge of sin. So now, since I got that $303 ticket, oops, I told y'all I didn't. $303. Okay? Since I got that ticket, I watch the speed limit. Why? I don't want another ticket. Especially no $303 ticket. Now, I can talk about me. I don't know about y'all. Maybe y'all drive perfect all your life. I don't know. But back then, I wasn't driving perfect. Okay? For the law is, in the law is the knowledge, or by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, what I want you guys to do, oops, I'm learning, so bear with me. There we go. I want you guys to turn to Romans, the 7th chapter. I want us to look at this right here. Okay? So we said all this about the law. If the law brings about the knowledge of sin, then let's look at what the law really does. What Paul is saying about this law. Paul says in Romans verse 7, it says, let me get out your hair in a minute. It says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what covetous really was if the law had not said, do not covet. Okay? And by the way, look it up in the Bible, that's the tenth commandment. So I'm glad Paul uses that. And not one of the other ordinances. Hand washing and all that stuff. But he's talking about the coveting, which is the 10th commandment of God. He would not have known what coveting was if the law had not said it. Okay? But sin sees the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. Okay? It actually helped me to understand what covetousness was, because then I knew what I was doing before the law revealed it to me. Now the law is revealing it to me, so I understand now that I was there in a minute. Okay? It says, for apart from the law, sin is dead. There's no law. And don't you think that that's how people are living today? A lot of people today are living as if they have no law, or that they can just do whatever they want to do. I watch the news, then I don't watch the news. I watch the news till I get tired of watching the news. Because the news have nothing on it but what? Corruption, violence. You know, every now and then they have a good report about something, but then it flips right back over to something negative, bad, killing, all this crazy stuff, right? Because people are living without law. They're living as if there is no law. It says, once I was alive apart from law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I understood what it was. I died. Okay, why? Because the law told me. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. You see, people that don't care about the law are people, most of them have no conscience. And no conscience of the law. Or if they do, they have no conscience. Their conscience has been seared. You see? The conscience has been seared. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then the law is holy, verse 12, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. But in order that sin might be recognized as sin. Now, let's go back. The purpose of the law, then, is what? That it reveals sin and lets you know that this is sin. And when you do know that this is sin, something ought to happen to you. Should it not? You have a decision to make, right? Okay? It produced death in me through what was good, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. The law is there and is valid today because it gives us an understanding of sin. It opens up sin for us to see exactly what it is. Exactly what it is. Jesus said in, let me try to do it. Yeah. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, do not think that I have come to destroy the law. Why did he say that? Because the law brings about the understanding of sin. He didn't come to destroy that. Because the hardest thing for us to do as believers, before we were saved, okay, before we were saved, and even now as believers, is to convince ourselves first. And now as believers, to convince others that they are sinners in need of a Savior. That's one of the hardest things to do when you're witnessing to someone, is that to get them to understand that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because most of them are out there living as if there is no law. You should hear, those of you who have been out of work for a while, you haven't been around the coffee pot at work and hear the conversations in a long time. Well, come on out to Tyson for a minute. Okay. You hear the conversations and it is about such ungodly stuff that is just, it's crazy. The world is convinced that Some of the world is convinced that, you know, they are living by law. Why? Because they say, well, I didn't kill anybody today. Right? But Jesus says that I come not to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. Now, like I said, I have you on a string. I was going to go further, but I want you to read and to study. Okay? Because the last one is, how did Jesus fulfill the law? Well, I can tell you how he fulfilled it in me. How he fulfilled it for me and for you. He fulfilled it on the cross. He fulfilled it in the grave. He fulfilled it in his daily life. When John the Baptist said that I should baptize you, he said, no. All righteousness must be fulfilled. And so Jesus came to fulfill the law. Now, I hope I don't get in trouble with you guys. He didn't come to destroy it. He came to fulfill it and to give the law what the law couldn't give to us. To give to us what the law couldn't give to us. The law brought about death. And when I look at the law, you know, and you keep your mind focused on the law all the time, then you'll never see what? The grace of God. The Bible says in John 1 and 17, it says, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came through who? Jesus Christ. See? So in his fulfilling the law, he brought in the grace of God. And it is by grace that we have been saved, through faith, not of works. Not of anything that we have kept as far as the law, but it is by the grace of God that we have faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because when God looks at us according to the law, we're condemned. But when he looks at us according to the grace shed on us by his blood on the cross, he forgives us for what the law could not forgive us for. He came to fulfill the law, not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. But what I do say is this. Go through the Ten Commandments. Try every day. Now, know that you're saved by grace through faith. But try every day not to covet. Not to steal. What do you mean, not to steal? I don't steal. Have you taken a paper clip, a nail, and just stuck it in your pocket and walked off? Not even thinking about it, really. If according to the law, guess what? You didn't mean to do that. I had a piece of paper, a whole thing of paper. What you call them? The writing. Scratch paper, whatever you want to call it. Sticky note pads. And I work with them every day. Every day in the office at work. And one day I got home and it was in my pocket. I said, oh God, I stole this. Really? Not even thinking about it. But in my mind, because I didn't ask anybody about it, I stole it. I hurried up and put it right back in the thing as soon as I got to work the next day. But let's think about it. Ten Commandments. They're good. They're holy. They're righteous. But they'll never keep you in the right standing with God. Why? Because my righteousness, your righteousness, does not come through the law. It is a guideline. It is a standard by which we can live by. But our righteousness is in Jesus Christ. Our righteousness is in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know sure if you caught anything that was said here this morning. I hope you did. But I want you to know that the law is just as good today as it was back then. Because Jesus came, he fulfilled the law. And he gave you a means of living, not by law, but by grace. Fulfill the law. We're not done. We got a long way to go. The law. The law. Hopefully somebody will come up to you this week and ask you about the law. What do you think about the law of Moses? Which happens to me sometimes. Now you know what to tell them. Hopefully. So whatever you take away from this, I pray that you use it this week, that someone else might know more about Christ than what he has done for them. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you. We ask, God, that you would take us deeper and keep us more on target, God. I ask, God, that you would bless us as we move through this week. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.